morning to Genesis 24. We were in Genesis chapter 24 last week. And our text for the week was verse 15 through 28. And we continue in that text this morning. I'm not going to reread the whole text, at least not in one reading. But I do want to read a few verses and then continue in drawing out some of the thoughts that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Genesis 24, verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, the servant of Abraham was praying, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born in Bethuel, to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. The man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, rather the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Last week, we considered the fact that God granted this servant's desires before he was even finished speaking, before he was done praying. In the midst of his praying to the God of Abraham, in the midst of his praying and seeking guidance and asking God to bless and show him who the woman would be that he would take back to Isaac, while he was yet praying, God sent Rebekah out. God granted the desires of that servant's heart while he was still praying, showing us the all-knowing, purposing God, showing us that if we pray according to the will of God, if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the name of Jesus Christ, consistent with the character of Jesus Christ, for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, God grants our desires. God hears our prayers and God answers our prayers, even while we're still praying. And there are several places in the Bible where it speaks about God's people calling and before they're done calling, God hearing and God answering their prayers. We saw and thought about how God was working behind the scenes, behind all that was going on here, as this man traveled seeking a wife for Isaac, and as Rebekah was just at home doing her normal routine things, God was working behind the scenes to bring about these paths crossing. And God is always working behind the scenes in our lives. We thought about that last week. Now it's been a week since we first got into that subject. What has God been doing behind the scenes in your life? What have you been praying for? What have you been praying about? What have you been seeking? What have you been sharing your desires about before God? What has he answered? What has he done in response to that, even before you were done praying? What has God been doing? all this past week, behind the scenes, unbeknownst to you and others that it might involve, in bringing you here to another Lord's Day? What has God been doing behind the scenes? We see in this passage of Scripture, the next thing that my attention is drawn to is how the damsel Rebecca is qualified. While he's saying these words, while he's praying these prayers, Rebecca is not only identified, not only brought out, not only comes on the scene, but her qualifications are laid out before us. The damsel, Rebecca, is qualified in verse 6, 15, 16, and 17. She is shown to be very fair to look upon. She's a virgin. No man had known her. She went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. She had the, let's say, the work ethic, if you would call it that, that a good wife would need to have, should have, would have qualified her as a good, suitable mate for Isaac. And she goes and she brings the water and she brings it back up. And he asked her for a drink, like he had proposed before God in his prayer. And she qualifies herself by responding to that. She had come all that way to fetch her vessel full of water, to carry it all the way back to wherever that might have been. She went down and got the water and was on her way home. And he said, "Hey, how about giving me a drink?" She qualifies herself by being willing to do that, showing herself a virtuous woman, I believe. And we see in verse number 18, "And she said, 'Drink, my Lord.' And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink." You notice in much of these verses, when the Lord is mentioned, it's the name for Jehovah, uppercase, capital, all capital, L-O-R-D. That's Jehovah. That's speaking of God. But here in verse number 18, it's L-O-R-D, lowercase. And here she just uses this term as a form of respect. Amen. Just as a form of respect. And in all the qualifications that are before us here in this passage of Scripture, as he's looking for the suitable wife for Isaac, Rebecca has all these qualifications. First and foremost, she respected her elders, was taught to respect her elders. That's a long-lost virtue, a long-lost quality in the day and time in which we live. Many commentators, I think four or five, if I remember right, five commentators, in dealing with this 24th chapter of Genesis, deal with this passage of Scripture somewhere along the lines of the home. How to find a good spouse, how to find a good wife, how to find a suitable character to build your life with, try to serve the Lord. And I think that's appropriate. I don't think I'm going to be able to spend any time looking at it in that light. But you find here in Genesis 24, all the signs and indicators of a good father. You want to be a good father? You want some scripture to study that will shed light upon what a good father is, what a good father does? Well, Abraham is a good father in this passage of Scripture. You want to know what makes a good wife? What the qualities of a good spouse is? Study this passage of Scripture. See what it tells us about Rebecca. Ladies, ask yourself, how do you line up comparing yourself to Rebecca throughout this chapter? Isaac is what the passage is all about, and Isaac will take Rebecca to be his wife, beginning with verse number 62 through the end of the chapter. And there you find some good indication of a husband, the qualities of a good husband. What makes a good marriage? A lot of those answers can be found in Genesis chapter 24. I would encourage anybody in those scenarios and situations to just pay attention. Pay attention to the woman in the story. Pay attention to the man in the story. Pay attention to the father in the story. Pay attention to the working of God in qualifying these two people to bring them together as husband and wife. Don't rush into marriage, I would say, without any reservation. Just as we say to sinners or saved folks, make your calling and election sure, I would say don't rush into marriage. Take time. Make sure you've got the formula for a happy marriage before you proceed any further. It mentions here in our text, she was very fair to look upon, but her looks had nothing to do with Isaac choosing her to be his wife. He hasn't ever seen her. And at the end of this chapter, when they finally come together and end up getting married, she has her head covered and veiled. And that would have been all of her face, or most of her face. It wasn't going to be cosmetic. It wasn't going to be based upon lust. It wasn't going to be based upon feelings. And a good marriage, and the making of a good marriage, has to be more than lust. Has to be more than feeling. It has to be more than all that warm and fuzzy feeling of love. Study this passage of Scripture. Man, woman, parent, study this passage of Scripture and look for the secrets to a good home, a good marriage, and the making of a good marriage. And I think you would benefit yourself greatly. Now in verse 17 through 21, we read this morning. The servant runs out to meet her. He has laid this sign before the Lord. Let her cross my path. Let me ask her for a drink. Let her give me a drink. Let her water my camels. Give me all these evidences that she's the one. And so she comes on the scene. He runs out to meet her and carries out his requirements in the formula. Hey, could I have a drink of water? I'm really thirsty. Could you share some of your water with me before you take your water home? So he goes out and asks for the water, and she willingly says in verse 18, drink, my Lord, out of respect. She hasted to let down her pitcher, give him something to drink. And when, verse number 19 says, and when she had given him drink, I've got those next two words underlined. She said, not by his instigating her, not by his manipulating the situation, not by his putting words in her mouth, but God brings Rebecca out. She's qualified to be the wife that Isaac needs. He brings Rebecca out. He asks her for a drink. She gives him a drink. And then she said, when you're done drinking, I'll go and I will fetch water for all 10 of your camels. However much water that was, and it had to be a lot. She said, I will draw water for thy camels also. I think it is perfectly clear that God has answered his prayer, perfectly clear that God has caused her to cross paths with him, perfectly clear that Rebekah is the answer to his prayers for Isaac. It's perfectly clear. But in spite of the fact that it's perfectly clear, the servant waits upon the Lord. The servant waits upon the Lord. Verse 20 says, she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. To wit, rather, the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's not going to jump the gun. He's not going to jump to conclusions. It is obvious that this is the woman that is the answer to his prayer, but he's going to wait. He's waiting upon the Lord to make it clear. He's waiting upon the Lord to fully realize that this is the woman that he has come for. We need to see that when we pray and we share our desires, God is many times going to give us our desires and answer our prayers while we're still praying. God is going to be working behind the scenes in all of our lives as he does. And may we always acknowledge that he does that. May we always be the qualified to be used of the Lord, like Rebekah was qualified to be used of the Lord. And when you're praying and you're seeking the Lord and he's answering your prayers and he's blessing you, don't rush the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36 says it best, where we read the words, you have need of what? Patience. What do we have the need of patience for? You have need of patience after you've done the will of the Lord, you might receive the reward. See, he's done, he's prayed, he sought, God has answered, God has brought her out. Not everything is complete yet, and he waits upon the Lord. And God help us to know that many of our mistakes are made because we rush into things. We pray and we think we know what the Lord wants us to have, and we ask for our signs and he gives us our little signs and we rush headlong into these things. Well, if you're praying and you're seeking the Lord's will and he's giving you signs of what he's going to do, it's not going to hurt you a bit to wait. It's not going to hurt you a bit to be patient. It's not going to hurt you a bit to let it all be realized, let it all come to fulfillment before you go further with your mission or your commission with the Lord. Don't wait just for a sign, a superficial sign, but God help us to look for the Word. Look into the Word for confirmation of these things, and let us wait. Let us look for our signs. Let us look to the Word for the answer to these things. And let's wait until we have peace of what God would have us to do. Waiting and being patient are not what human beings are most famous for. We want it now. We want it quickly. We want this to happen. We want this situation. We want this desire. We want this prayer. We want God to answer these things quickly, and we many times rush into these things before all of this is realized. But God help us when we've prayed and we've desired and we've sought the Lord to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. As the old saying goes, what harm's going to come from that? What harm's going to come from that? I've got to do this. I've got to do it right now. No, just wait. What harm's going to come from that? You've prayed. You sought the will of the Lord. Maybe he's given you some shallow indication, signs that it's his will. Still, don't rush. Don't jump the gun and get into something hastily. Look for a sign from the Lord. Look for the Word to confirm, to bolster that. And wait until you have perfect peace. You see, If we don't like something, or we like something that maybe we shouldn't have, when we want something, we can seek God, or we can claim to seek God. And we can claim to seek a sign from God. And I've heard multitudes of people literally say, I've prayed about it, or I sought the Lord, or the Lord gave me a sign. We're very quick in looking for signs in Scripture to fulfill preconceived ideas. And when sign comes, we jump on it, thinking, I got my desire, I got what I want. Well, just back up. Don't jump on it. Read the Bible. Look to the Word of God for confirmation. Look to the Word of God. Take the time until you feel totally at peace that you prayed, you asked for a sign, God gave you a sign, God gave you ample scriptures to confirm that sign, and wait until you have perfect peace. Oh, I don't want to wait. I got to do something now. Wait. You'll do more to bless your life by waiting and being patient than rushing into preconceived ideas and notions. Verse 22 and through 25, he gives the woman that has been identified for her the gifts that he had brought to give her. This was customary, and this was a part of, excuse the cruelty, the crudeness, it was a part of the deal. When a man went to find a wife, or a father went to find a wife for his son, or in this case a servant was sent to find a wife for Isaac, he took wealth and he took the resources with him to, once he identified her, give her the funds, the I don't know that it would be called a dowry, because I thought that was something that would be on the father's side, that the woman would have. But when the deal was struck, funds were given, resources, benefits were given. And when he identifies her, he gives her these signs. And then we read in verse number 28, she runs home. She runs home to her mother's house to tell her all that has happened. And God is going to have this man come to that house. In verse 29 through 31, but she runs home to tell all that in her mother's house, which included her brother, all that had happened to her. And I can't help but see the significance of this servant swears to Abraham what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, promises Abraham. He travels these 500 miles, finds himself at this well where the women come to gather water. He prays and he seeks God to give him a sign to identify the woman for her. He patiently waits, and God plainly identifies the woman for her. Who's your father? What family do you come from? I think in verse number 23. And she says in verse 24, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who she bare unto Nahor. Who is Nahor? You remember who Nahor was? Another one of those questions I throw out at you. See if you recall who Nahor was. But she's plainly identified. He gives her those gifts that were customary in sealing the deal. She runs back to her house. He knows she's the one. And God has answered his prayers. God has given him the desires of his heart. God has identified her. Out of all the women that would eventually come there, God identified Rebecca as the one that was meant to be for Isaac. And she goes come back to my house, meet my parents, my family. We will give you a place to stay. We will provide food and shelter for your camels and all the men that are traveling with you. And I see it so wonderfully displaying of this man's character. You see, I think many believe that this servant wasn't saved, wasn't a believer in God. I think the evidence plainly says he did believe in God. He prayed often to God. He prayed that God would bless his master, Abraham. And many tend to think that where he had went to find a wife, they were all idolaters. But I also see that there's some proof that they believed in God. And we'll see some of that before we're done. When this servant recounts all that God did in bringing him to identify Rebekah, in verse number 15, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord." Jehovah is the name he uses. This must be the work of God. They believed in Jehovah. And we're not going to try to explain that any further. But as he gets this woman plainly identified, verse number 26, he bows down his head. Bows down his head. He bows his head. What do you think he's going to do? What is that the posture of? If he's not a Christian, if he's not a believer in the God of Abraham, if he's not any way spiritually alive towards Jehovah, what's he going to bow his head to do? It can only mean one thing. He's going to bow his head to pray. He's going to bow his head to acknowledge Jehovah. He's going to pray and thank Jehovah for giving him sign that this is the woman. And he bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. Worship the Lord. What's the word for Lord here? L-O-R-D, Jehovah. It's the name of God. It's a different, it's the main name for God, a different from what verse number 18 says in the lowercase. This is his worshiping Jehovah. To put it simply, this is his bowing his head and worshiping the God, the same God of Abraham. He was a worshiper of God. He worshiped God, I believe, acceptably. He bows his head. He worships the Lord. And he said, as his head is bowed and he's worshiping the Lord, as maybe he's praying, calling upon the Lord, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. Blessed be the God of my master Abraham." That doesn't mean it's not his God. But he has the same God, I believe, that Abraham had. And he blesses the Lord God of his master Abraham. He blesses and he praises God for not having left Abraham destitute of mercy and truth. Verse number 27, he says, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to this house of my master's brethren." I praise God for how he has worked, how he has directed, how he has led me all this way, how he brought me to this very spot. He's giving all the glory to the Lord. I, on the way, God has directed me. I find it significant that he bows his head, he worships the Lord, he prays, he blesses, and he glorifies God for working. And in my studies this week, in listing all of these things that we see that he does, bowing his head, worshiping, blessing, praising, acknowledging the working of God, blessing God for his working. As I underline those things in our text, And as I pondered them, the Lord brought me to Psalms chapter 138. Because in my studies, as I had these things underlined and these things listed, he bowed his head, he worships, he prays, he blesses God, he glorifies God for God's working, I find these same words coming from the tongue of the psalmist. And listen, and look for these words that the servant speaks in our text, those couple verses, and listen to the psalmist. Oh, just verse 1 through 3 of Psalm 138. The psalmist says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, little g, the authorities, the dignitaries. I don't believe he's talking about false gods. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the days when I cried, thou answerest me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Some of the same words, some of the same actions, some of the same reactions in the psalmist that we find this man in Genesis chapter 24, praising, worshiping, acknowledging the kindness of God, acknowledging the truth of God, acknowledging the word of God, determining that he was going to praise God. And in our text of Genesis 24, the psalmist, or not the psalmist, but the servant, in verse 26 and 27, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master, not left him destitute of mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Lord led me to the family of Abraham, my master, to find this woman. And just let me close by asking you, how often do you pray? Do you seek God's will? How often do you ask God for signs? And how often, before you're even done praying, is he giving you the desires of your heart? How often is God displaying himself as working behind the scenes? And how often do you look at your life and say, God was doing that all the time. God was working all that time. How often do you find yourself qualified in a position to be used of God? How often are you qualified to be the man, to be the woman, to be the young person that God has chosen to use? How often has God given you gifts and benefits and blessings to show that his hand is upon you? And how often, as you pray and seek all these things and God answers these prayers, how often do you respond like this servant? How often do you respond like the psalmist? How often, when God is doing all this in our life, do we bow our heads and worship and praise him and acknowledge him and rejoice in truth and acknowledge and rejoice in truth and his word? How often do you bless and glorify God? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, you can go to church and not do any of these things. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I hope you do. But I'm talking about everyday life, you know, where the rubber hits the road, as they say. Day in and day out, as God hears your prayers, gives the petitions of your heart, gives you signs and gives you indications that His will is upon you. His word is upon you, and it is according to truth. How often do you respond during the day with bowing your head? Oh yeah, I forgot. I need this. I need that. I need health. I need not asking God for anything. How often do you just on a daily basis bow your head and pray, glorifying God, worshiping Him? You know, you can only worship God collectively in the Lord's church. But that's not the only place God's people should worship. And taking the text out of the context of the assembly of the church, which is a different setting altogether, how often during the week do you bow your head and just worship God? Oh, God, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for hearing my prayers. Thank you for answering my prayers. Thank you for hearing me, Lord, and displaying your will upon my life and giving me the things that I've desired while I was still praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me signs, giving me patience to wait upon you. Thank you for showing me the truth. Thank you for showing me your word. Oh, God, I just want to praise you here on Tuesday afternoon. I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace. This servant bows his head, he worships God, he prays, he blesses, he glorifies God for working in his life. How often do you and I do that? Let's stand together. Close with a verse of song.